Okay, this week is Parshas Chaye Sarah, the Parsha of Shiduchim. Ooh, I can't repeat anything I said last year. I don't know if I can do that. Let's see, we'll try. Parshas Chaye Sarah, the Parsha of Shiduchim. There are two major themes in this week's Parsha, the Kavura of Sar Imenu, which Chazal tell us was the 11th Nisayon. Aaron was tested 10 times. The 10th Nisayon typically is referred to with the Akedah. And then comes the 11th Nisayon, where Avram could not find the proper burial, had to pay, as we said before, $3 million. Arba meo shekel kesef for kvura for Sara Imenu, and didn't complain. He didn't complain. This was obviously a very great Nisayon. Okay, so let me just start with a little short idea. It's not a complete idea from Rabbi Wolfson. Parsha begins with Avraham hears that his wife died, and he comes. Vayuchaye Sarah Meyashana, the Esrim Shana, Vesheva Shanim Shnechaye Sarah, 127 years. Vatama Sodabikiras Arba, Avram comes, Vayav Avram, Lispod Lisra Velif Kaisa. The word Velif Kaisa means to cry for her, but it's spelled with a small chaf. So why is it spelled with a small chaf? So Chazal tell us, There are many Mamari Chazal as to why there's a small chaf. Some said he did not cry that much. He cried a little bit. Why? Because she was 127 years old. She lived a full, successful life. And therefore, he was not marbe in bichi. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that Avraham Avinu had a daughter. Vashem berach es Avraham bakol. He had a daughter. And at this period of time, his daughter died, tragically. The same time that his wife died. And therefore, he died not just for his wife, he died for his daughter. So a small cried for his daughter. So that's why there's a small chaf. When there's a small letter, it's hinting to us that we should delete the letter. When you delete the letter, then it's ule bita. When you take the chaf out of the word v'liv kaisa, it's read ule bita. Vayavo Avraham lispod lissara ule bita, and for her daughter. Which is very interesting, because even those commentators that tell us that Avraham Avinu did have a daughter, they suggest that the daughter was through Hagar or Keturah, not through Sarah. We have no Makar in Chazal that Sarah had a daughter. So this, that it would say Lispo Lisra Ulibito, would mean that his daughter is crying for Sarah and Sarah's daughter. Not Ulibito, but Ulibito, that Sarah Menu also had a daughter. Another question is, if Sarah really had a daughter, why didn't Avraham marry her? I mean, she died, but why didn't Avraham marry off Yitzchak to his daughter? Just like the Shvatim, all the Shvatim Chazal tell us they married their half-sister, their twin sister. Before Matan Torah, you can marry his sister. Why didn't Avraham allow Yitzchak to marry his sister? Okay, whatever, but that's the point. Wolfson, he quotes the following Chazal, very famous Chazal tell us that Rabbi Akiva was once giving a shir, and all of the Talmidim began to doze off. They all fell asleep. So he wanted to wake them up. And the way he woke them up was he said to them, why is that Sarah was zoche to be a queen who ruled on 100? I'm sorry, Esther. Why was Esther zoche to rule on 127 cities, provinces? What's the pasuk? What's the Balkari say? Go to the videotape. No, Sheva v'yashem medina. There it's in the reverse order. 7, 20, and 100 medinos. Why? It's in merit of her great-great-great-great-grandmother, Sar Imenu, because Sar Imenu lived 127 years. That is why her descendant was zeichet to rule over 127 provinces. And this woke up the Talmidim. So this is subject to interpretation. What exactly does this mean? Why would this stimulate the Talmidim to wake up? Simply means this, that don't waste a second. Just like here it says in the pasuk that all of them were kulam shav l'tova, she maximized every single second. Every single second made a difference. Lighten that, and because every second made a difference, that's why Sarah had 127 medinos. If Sarah would have wasted 1 year, then Esther only would have had 126 Lidinos, not 127. So therefore, Talmidim, don't waste time. You may be tired, but if you're going to doze off and fall asleep for a few minutes, the ramifications of what's going to be for your descendants years later is going to be enormous. You have to chaperein every single. That is the simple interpretation. Fine. So Rabbi Wolfson says an amazing idea. He says, twice in the Megillah, are we miyaches Esther to her father? One, uve hagia tor Esther, bas avichai. Esther's name is mentioned in the Megillah, I don't know, many, many times. But only twice are we miyaches her. Now, we're not going why in those two times, but we do find in the Megillah, uve hagia tor Esther, bas avichai, when it was her turn, the first time she was introduced to Achashverosh, when Achashverosh selected her, it says she was daughter of Avichail. The second time was when she wrote the Megillah, about Tichtov Esther Bas Avichail, as Divrei HaMegillah Hazos. She wrote the Megillah. Okay, the end. So we do see in the Megillah that Esther is being siache, she is being traced to her lineage, who simply is her father. Her father's name was Avichail. However, Chazal tells Avichail really refers all the way back to Avram Avinu. Avichail, the father of valor, the father of who was a Gibor Chayil, we're really telling her that the reason why she succeeded was because she had great yichus. She comes from good stock. She's a miyuchas. She comes from Avram Avinu. She comes from Soleimenu. She goes back to a good source. The story of Purim is a very tragic story. We celebrate this Purim holiday, but there was great sacrifice. The sacrifice that was Esther Hamalka, Tzadekes, a woman that was married to the Gadol Hadar, none other than Mordechai HaTzadik, was abducted. She was never the same. She was living with a guy. Okay, that is a very great tragedy. And even after maybe Achashverosh discovered her past, she was no longer permitted to go back to Mordechai, as she's told Mordechai that if Kasher avadati, that until now it was Bo'inis, but now if I'm going to go willingly, I'm never going to be allowed to return to you, my husband. So it was a very great sacrifice. It was a very great tragedy for a tzadekes to have to live with a non-Jew. But it was a sacrifice that she had to make for Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Wolfson says, being that Chazal connect the number 127 to Esther, and being that Chazal tell us that he cried Ulebita, this pasuk is being merames that Avraham didn't just cry for Sarah, he cried for Esther. Vayavoy Avraham lispoid l'Sarah, he cried for the death of Sarah, Ulebita. Who's the Bita? Esther Bas Avichail. Since Chazal tell us that as a consequence of living 127 years, that's the pasuk right before. It ties in very well. The pasuk one before, it says 127, in the schus of Sarah, not wasting a moment, living a full 127, her daughter, Esther Hamalka, would rule over 127 provinces, but yet she would have to pay a great price. There would be a great sacrifice. Just as Sarah Imenu died prematurely, Chazal said the reason why she died 38 years before her time, because she criticized Avram by saying, Chamosi Alecha, because you have taken, I've given you my maidservant Hagar, and my maidservant Hagar now, she has become pregnant, and she is mocking me, that look, you've been married to Avraham for 75 years, so you didn't become pregnant. Now I'm only married to Avraham for a few weeks, and I'm already pregnant, and she's making me feel bad, and you did not make a machal, you did not put her in her place. So Sarah said to Avraham, I have complaint against you, I have tainus on you. So because she criticized her husband, so she was punished, she died prematurely. It was a very great sigh that she died. So Avram cried for her, how much more she could have accomplished, Ulebita, but Avram also cried for Esther. She cried for Esther Ulebita. But that also, if we take this a little bit further, also indicates that unfortunately Purim did not bring Mashiach. Every holiday is a bittersweet holiday. On the one hand, it represents survival, the story of Chanukah, the story of Purim. We survived. But had we gone just a little more, the extra step, Mashiach would have come. the time of Hanukkah was a time that was Masugal for the coming of Mashiach. The time of Purim was a time that was Masugal for the coming of Mashiach. We saw the Yad Hashem. Unfortunately, we did not maximize the potential of these two miracles. Why? Why is that so? Well, that's really rooted in Sarah. Had Sarah lived another 38 years, that's what the Pasuk...
165, but why?
165, why she would have lived, because that would have been the number of years that, I'm not sure the detail, I don't have it in front of me, that, but there's a chazal that tells us that she was meant to live another 38 years, but because there was a mistake.
She died the same time as Avram.
She would have then died the same time as Avram, but had she lived those extra 38 years, so this is the deeper meaning of this, where Rav is trying to tell us. Had she lived those extra 38 years, then sorrow would have been even greater. Sarah only ruled over 128 and only 27 provinces. Now, does that mean that was the entire world? That's there's a discussion about this. If Achashverosh, what?
Half.
Only half the world? Mehodu v'ad Kush. Some say it was across the entire world. That's a question. That's a discussion. But whatever it was a limitation. 127. It could have been more. Had it been more, then who knows? Maybe her koyach would have been even greater, and Mashiach would have come. Avram was crying because Sarah did not reach her full potential. Sarah died prematurely because Chamosi Olecha. She criticized Avram Avinu. Avram had to cry for this loss. The potential. Who was a direct recipient of the greatness of Sari Menu? Esther Hamalka. Chazal say 127 is matched 127. Did Esther Hamalka, did she achieve bringing Mashiach? No. The story of Purim is going to be the holiday that it's not going to become butl when Mashiach comes. That tells us that the story of Purim really captures the essence of Mashiach. To see the Yad Hashem in Nikra, to see the Yad Hashem in the world of Teva, which is the tafkid of Mashiach. In the story of Purim lies the coming of Mashiach. Mashiach should have come right then and there. It did not come. Why did it not come? Because Sarah was limited. Why was Sarah limited? Because Esther was limited. Why was Esther limited? Because Sarah was limited. Why was Sarah limited? Because Sarah died prematurely. Why did you die prematurely? Chamos Yolecha. Who is he had to blame? Well, Avram probably is blaming himself. This whole event should not have happened. Things should have been handled in a different way, where things would have not spiraled out of control, where she would complain, Chamos Yolecha. All of that is alluded to here in the sequence of these two psukim. Vayu chayesara meyashana v'esrin shana v'sheva shanim shnei chayesara kulum shanim l'toiva. That when that koyach goes down to Esther Hamalka, v'atom also the kiryas abiyichem v'yeretz kenav v'yivah Avraham l'spoil l'sara ulebita. And now Avram is coming to cry for Sarah and for Sarah's daughter. Who's Sarah's daughter? Who is the one woman in the history of the world that connected herself directly back to Sarah in the eyes of Chazal? Esther. He cries for Sarah, and now because Sarah died prematurely, Esther's koyach is limited, Mashiach doesn't come, and there's what to cry about Esther. There's what to cry about that she was abducted, taken to a goy, and there's what to cry about is that she failed in bringing Mashiach at that moment in time. We only have the ruach of Mashiach, and we have to wait for its full coming in our day, B'mehir V'yameinu. Okay, let's go to another idea. What? The reason why there's a small chav in this interpretation is that when you have a small letter, it's hinting to you, delete the letter. Read the word without the letter. So then, instead of reading v'liv kosa, you would read ulibita. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here, in this week's parasha, let's jump to the end of the parasha. Yitzchak. Yitzchak is being mispalel for a shirach. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. He's going out to the field to be mispalel for a shirach, and he picks up his eyes. And who does he see? He sees the gemalim are coming. They're already coming back. They have already returned. According to Chazal, this moment when Yitzchak was being mispalel was exactly the time when Eliezer was also being mispalel, was negotiating with the Kodesh Baruch Hu to bring about this mikra. Okay, let me go to the pasuk. The part Vayetze.
It's page 67.
Okay, there are 67 sukkim in the story of Shidduchim. quite a coincidence. The Yitzchak ba mibo be'er lachai roi. Yitzchak was coming. He returned from the be'er, the well of lachai roi. To hu yoyshei b'yeretz hanegev. Question is, why does the pasuk tell us that Yitzchak went to be mispala l'suach basodeh right before he came from this place called Be'er Lachai Roi? Why is it important for us to know this? If this pasuk, the pasuk Samach Beis in Perek Chav Dal, pasuk Samach Beis would not have been written, we would have no idea that anything was missing. It would say v'atokam rivka v'narosecha v'atir kav nal hagmalim. Did anyone notice anything was missing? No one would notice anything. The narrative would have been exactly the same. No one even paid attention that Yitzchak, he lived, he is Yoshe Beretz HaNegev, and he came from Be'er Lachai Roi, and now he's going out into the field to be mispalel for a shidduch. What? Chazal tells that L'suach Basadeh, he was praying that B'chol Zos Spal Chos L'Eis Mitzoh. Eis Mitzoh was to find the Zivuk. Why do we need this information? So I saw, where did I see this? Can't remember anything anymore. I don't remember where I saw this. Okay, I apologize. I have to get better with this. I apologize, but this is not original. The connection is not original. No, not this Navim Elio. What do we know about the place? What do we know about the place? Be'er Lachai Roi. This was the place when Hagar saw the Malach for the first time. When Halav saw the Malach, but when Hagar, it was told to Hagar to return to Sarah. Let's go back very quickly to Parashas Lech Lecha. In Parashas Lech Lecha, Hagar becomes pregnant. And Sarah tells her, get out of here. You're mocking me. You're making litzanas on me. She says to Avram, chamos yilecha, I want her to leave. Avram says, do to her what you wish. You can send her away. Let me read you the psukim.
Page 41.
Vayomer malach Hashem. Okay. Vayomer el Avram el Sarai. Hinei shifchasech biyodech. Your shifcha is in your hands. Asilo hatov beinoich. Do to her what you want. Vate aneho Sarai. Sarai afflicted her. Sarai tortured her. Vatirach miponeho, and she fled. What happened? Vayimtza malach Hashem al ein hamayin bamidbar alo ein baderech shur. The malach appears to Hagar. Vayomar Hagar shifchas Sarai. Ei mizevos the onasilich. Where are you coming from? I'm fleeing from my mistress Sarai. Go back, don't worry. You're going to have children, do not worry. He hears the key words. Kishoma Hashem. What's that sound? Is that coming from me? What?
What sound?
No, there's a sound, like a radio sound. No, there's okay. You don't hear a sound? Someone's talking? Okay. Kishoma Hashem El Onyech, Hashem has heard, Kishoma Hashem, Hashem has heard your cries. Wow. Here the Malach says, you are in pain, you have cried out to Hashem. Hashem Kishoma Hashem El Onyech, Hashem has heard your affliction. And don't worry, you're going to have a child, Huyeh Per Adam. He's not going to be the big tzaddikul, but it'll be a person, Per Adam, Yad Kolbo. Okay, now next, here's what's critical. Here is the part that we need to gain a deeper appreciation of Ayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basodeh. Vatikra Shem Hashem Hadoiver Eleha Ata Kel Roi. She called the name of this place where the Malach appeared to her, Atah, you Hashem are Kel, are my God, Ra'i, who have appeared to me, the God that I see. Ki Amra, she explained, Hagam Halam, why am I calling this place Kel Ra'i, the God that I see? She said, Hagam haloim ro'isi acharei ro'i. Can it be that I see God, I see Malachim, even outside the home of Avraham? Now let me read the Rashi. Rashi is critical to understand what this pasuk means and what we're trying to bring out. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Rashi says, Atok hel ro'i, nokod, verse goes into the diktuk, Hagam haloim loshon tema. Question. It's a question. V'chisavur ha'yisi. I never, in my wildest dreams, imagined sha'af haloim, that even over here, b'midboros, in the desert, re'isi shaluchav shalmakam, in the desert, I would merit to see the messengers of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Acharei ro'i oisam b'beiso shel Avram. After I've seen them in the home of Avram Avinu. Shasham ha'yisi regila liros malachim. There I used to see malachim. Rashi goes on to explain us that when Hagar lived in another influence of Avraham Avinu. It's making noises. It's talking.
Are you serious?
It's not me. Okay. It's Mickey. It's okay.
It's
okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Hagam halam acharei roi. So here it says that as Hagar said, when I was in the home of Avraham Avinu, it was a normal thing. Every single day I would see Malachim. But I never imagined that when I would leave the Dalid Amos of the Beis Medrash of Avraham Avinu, I would be zoicha to see Malachim. I thought you want to have a spiritual life and see Malachim and to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be in the Dalet Amos of Avraham Avinu. Here, my mistress, Sarai, threw me out. I'm in the desert. I'm far away. I'm hundreds of miles away, wherever I am. Here, it's a midbar. It's a desert. I'm going to see the Shalucha Shel Malkam, the Ribbono Shel Olam here as well? I never expected this. This is something special, and therefore I'm going to name this Malkum in the Midbar Hashem Kel Roi. I'm witness to see God even in the Midbar, even in a place that's far, far away from where I come from. Yitzchak was well aware that his father sent Eliezer on a mission to find him a proper zivuk. Where is he going? He's going far, far away. And what's going to happen when he gets married? He's going to live with a whole, it's going to be a new generation. New generation. It's not just going to be marriage. It's not just Alken Yazav Ish Es Ove V'Imo V'Davak V'Ishto. The first words the Torah used to describe Shidduchim is, it's time to leave. Leave your home. Leave your comfort zone. Go out and make a life for yourself. Go out to the real world. You're going to leave the shelter of your home, your parents, your community, and go far away. Yitzchak needs to prepare himself for this major life-changing event. Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basode. Chazal tell us he went to be mispalo that Eliezer should be successful. But what is the hakdama to this kaya, to the tefillah? The hakdama is to go get some inspiration from the place called Kel Roi. Because this was the first place in the world where a human being acknowledged that the Ribbono Shel Olam can be found even when you're outside of your comfort zone. The comfort zone is Avraham HaEvri. He was the first one to spread the knowledge that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. But you can be misled at this point in time. Yeah, you got to be within Dalet Amos. When Avraham Avinu will pass on, and Yitzhak will set up a home for himself, Alkein Yazav Ishas Avinu, it's not going to be the same. Hashem's not going to be there with me. When Eliezer goes out to Aram Naharayim, we're going very far away, going to a faraway land, Hashem's not going to be there. That's not true. And we know that from Hagar. Kishama Hashem El Kol Onyech. She called the place Hashem Roi, Hagam Haloim. Even here, far away from my source, Hashem, yeah, that's right. This pasuk is critical as an introduction for Vayetze Yitzchak Lesuach Basada. By Yitzchak, where is he coming from? Bom Mibo, he's coming from the place, from the road, from the location of Be'er Lachai Roi. The place that Hagar named Be'er Lachai to instill upon him, to remind him of this powerful Yisod even in a faraway place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, the Mechaber just makes this connection, but you have to focus on the Rashi. You have to Rashi. I try to develop the Rashi a little bit more than what he says in the Sefer. Okay, let's just go to a very similar idea this week. We always have a Balkari, we have a Shalshelis. I mean, you one of the rare Ta'amim. Last week, Vayismama, and this week we have Vayomar. Vayomar, when Eliezer comes to the well, he's Mispal Vayomar. Why is there a Shalshelis? So I just saw a cute little word is because what Eliezer did was extremely bizarre. Chazal, in fact, criticized, you have no right to go make simon, to go make tests. Nichush, the first girl that comes to the well and offers me a drink, she's going to be the sheikh. What would happen if a shifcha would come? What would happen if a girl who is lame would come and it's not appropriate sheikh? So he would be locked in, he would have no choice. So this was not a proper thing. So why then? Eliezer was a very wise man. Why did he do such a thing? The answer is because he was samech on the zuchus of Avram Avinu. And at the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avram Avinu three times, the three individual brachas at the Akedah. Dot that the Shalshelis Vayomar, he made this request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Zechus of three things. What are the three things? The three brachos that appear at the end of the Akedah. Let me read the words at the end of the Akedah. First it says, Vayim bi nishpati nu'um Hashem, ki yan asher asid, so es hadavar hazeh v'loi chasach tismul chasiridecha, ki voreich Avor Rechacha, a double bracha, two expressions. The Harbar Arbe Zarechacha Yashem Shemayim Vechlash Asasiyam V'Yirash. And the next passage goes on to see Ches V'Yisboruchu V'Zaracha. Three times we have the word bracha. Three separate brachas, the Chut HaMeshulash, and the merit of that bracha, that is what gave Eliezer the confidence to do this technique of make a simon, the first school that comes out should be merit to be the shirk for Yitzchak Avinu. Okay, let's go to another idea. We mentioned before, we're learning Mishnah, we mentioned that the reason why Avraham Avinu told Eliezer that he should go to Aram Naharam, he may not take a girl from the people of Canaan, is because the people of Canaan have bad midos. Although the people living in Canaan, they were under the influence of Avraham Avinu saw that in the future they would go back to their old ways, and the midos were not proper for Klal Yisrael. He has to go back to his home, Aram Naharaim, although they were idolaters, but they still had good midos. There was much more potential from those people, his own family, than the people where he was living. So I saw Chassidus Vart. It's a beautiful Vart. It's a real heavy duty Chassidus Vart, but can't resist sharing it with you. We learned in Mishlei, the root of all midos is gaiva. Okay, we had about two or three weeks ago a pasuk which expanded upon the theme. All bad midos are rooted in gaiva. There are two words to describe oneself. There's the word ani and the word anochi. The Malbon in Sefer HaKarmel explains the difference between ani and anochi. Ani is a word of humility. When you use the word ani, it means I'm not so important. I'm just identifying who I am, but I don't mean to give myself any importance. The word anochi means, do you know who I am? You know, I'm a special person. Take note of my greatness. Anochi is a word which emphasizes the person. Ani de-emphasizes the purpose. For example, you want to say, I am sitting. What do you want to know? Do you want to know if you're sitting, or you want to know who is sitting? If you want to know who is sitting, you would say, Anochi Yoshev. If you want to tell the audience that there's a person sitting here, it's not important who he is, but there's someone on the chair is occupied, the seat is taken, you say, Ani Yoshev. When you say Ani Yoshev, it means the seat is taken. When you say Anochi Yoshev, I'm here, I'm present. It happens to me that I'm sitting, I'm not sitting, that's not important. That's how the Malam explains the difference between the word Ani and the word Anochi. And we use this to explain many things. For example, the Aseres HaDibros begins with the word Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Because when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's right, it's important to know who is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not something that you take lightly, you say Anochi. When Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm coming to visit you, he said, Ani Yisro Chosencha Boilecha. I'm coming. It's not so important who I am. What's important is, I want to join Klal Yisrael. Okay, this is the Yisoid, the Malbum, the Chilik between Ani and Anochi. Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer, I want you to go to Canaan, and I don't want you to take a daughter from go to Aram Naharaim, and I don't want you to take a daughter from Canaan. He says to him, Now, if the pasuk would stop right there, you wouldn't know the difference. I always tell you this. Right? That would be a very nice place to have a safe pasuk. One more time. V'yashbiacha. I put upon you an oath. B'Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, B'Elokei HaRetz. Asher. Lo sikach yisho. Do not take a wife. Livni b'bnos haknani. But he goes further. He says, Asher Onochi Yoshev Bikirbo. So the Hasidic Rebbe tell us here, we're coming to emphasize what is the chesed, where is the root of the bad midos and the people of Canaan? It's because in this place where we live, there's a lot of Onochi. In this place, Asher Onochi Yoshev Bikirbo. I live in a land where everyone is very important. Everyone that you speak to, they begin their sentence with Onochi Yoshev, Onochi Omed. Anochi, anochi. When you live in a land where everyone is anochi, stay away. Get out of here. Go to a place where people are humble. There you'll find people with good midos, and that will be a better shidduch for my child. What? So why does it say the word Ani? Interesting point. There it says Ani. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have a Maimon Chazal, the parsha of Shidduchim is repeated twice. Whereas many mitzvos are only taught to us through Rimazim. Small, an extra vav, a missing vav, an extra yud, a missing yud. Pasuk could have been written in this form. It was written with an extra word. And we learn tal tal talim shel halachais, even from a kutzoy shel yud. Yet, when it comes to parash of Shidduchim, the parash is repeated twice. So the sefer Aleihi Goyon, we use that sefer many times, he asked the question, if Torah already wants to repeat the parashas twice, why didn't it repeat the parasha a third time? What do we mean? Where would you possibly repeat the third? By the way, Parash Chayisara, the Baal HaKri will tell you, it's not from the longest parashios. It's only, what is it, four columns, three columns, three and a half columns? Last week was almost double this week's parasha. So it wouldn't have been such a big deal to add one more column. The whole story takes up a column. So two-thirds of the parasha are two columns. We could add it another time. Think of how much fun it would have been to have it repeated a third time, because especially since there are the difference of nuances between the first and the second time, and all the Darshan like to analyze all of the differences between the first time and the second time, now you would be able to contrast it a third time. There would certainly be more differences. Think of how many drashas, how many speeches we could make from a third repetition of. It would grow exponentially, not just... So where would I put the third time? Very simple. When he gets back. Let me look what happened. He comes back. Let me read you where it would have. Ayetze Yitzchak Lusuch Basodeh. Fine. Batisa Rivka Yaseinecha Bateres Yitzchak Batil Ve'alagomo. Vatoymer Eloeven Miu Yishalozeh. Let's go further. Okay, here, and then it says, Vayisaper Ho'eved Li Yitzchak Eis Kol Hadvarim Asher Osah. One pasuk summarizes the entire story. Why? We could have had a whole column. Yafes tichason shel avde avos. Yoise mi taras shel banim. We already have a license to go over time.
Maybe he already knew Ruach HaKodesh. Maybe he already knew.
So even if he knew, but we have a license. Yafes tichason.
What is Shirach? Repeated all the
mitzvahs
a couple of times. Once the
shirach
is closed, you don't talk.
Okay, so Rabbi Klein in the Sefer Aleihi Gion, he says something which touches upon what you said. Maybe this is really what you're trying to say. And he says a very powerful answer. Until the shirach was made, who is Eliezer dealing with? Eliezer was dealing with Lavan Besuel. He's telling them about an abstract individual, Yitzchak. Now tell me about Yitzchak. Oh, he's in Koilel. Someone's going to have to support him for the rest of his life. He never ever saw a woman his whole life. He doesn't know. He's in this spider dust. But don't worry, his father's very wealthy. His father, Avram Avinu, he knows how to speak their language. He has Avodim, Gemalim, Zov, Kesef. He wrote a shtar, Kol Asher Lo. He has to describe the goods. It's a hard sale. It's not an easy deal to sell a Kol Yengalite to Lavan and Basul. This is not exactly what Lavan and Basul had in mind as a shidduch for their daughter. It was a lot of work. However, when he comes back, now, okay, but so that's why this, that's why the details are presented multiple times. What happened, and then he tells over the details to impress upon Lavan and Basul that it's the Yad Hashem. Look at the Hashkacha Pratis. He has to engage them in dialogue. You know, there's a technique in marketing, and the technique, I used to work in marketing, I still do to some degree, that you have to engage the customer to weaken their defense system. If you want to sell, if you go over to a person, you tell them, I want to sell you a car. You walk into the store, I want to sell you a car. The chance of them saying yes or no. But if you sit them down and you talk to them for half an hour and talk about the weather and talk about their children and talk about business and talk about politics, you weaken them. And then after half an hour you present the same exact question, you know, I have a great deal for you. They're much more, there's much greater probability they're receptive to, you have to weaken their defense system. That's exactly what Eliezer is doing. Oh, who am I? Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story, and he goes on a long story to weaken, to become familiar with them. They should develop a relationship, and then they will be more receptive to this. If you're just going to throw upon them Yitzchak, it's not going to work. When Avraham comes back, now that's all true, good. Here, let me give you the answer. That's all good and fine when you want to sell someone a lemon. If you're a car salesman and you have in the yard a lemon and you want to pull it off, you want to go get, take advantage of the customer and sell him something which is, he can get a better deal next door, then you got to work very hard. But if someone walks into your shop and you have in front of you a Rolls Royce, right? Brand new, right out of the factory, and you tell them, I'll give this to you for a deep discount that you will not find anywhere in the world. You can present the question immediately. You don't have to delay. I have here the merchandise. Take a look. Right off the assembly line, it's in perfect condition, it's new, I'm giving you a price, take out your smartphone and go look up what the value is, and you'll see I'm giving it to you at half price. You can immediately make him a deal. You don't have to go through all this nonsense of sitting and begging for a coffee and talk to him and be friendly and put on a whole show. When Eliezer comes back, he has the goods. Who does Eliezer have? He has Rivka. You want me to give you a speech and tell you the whole story? Just look at her. Just take a look. Look, you'll see the tzidkis, you'll see the righteousness, you'll see the shechina is resting upon her. She speaks for herself. You don't need me, you don't need a whole story. Even though yofeh, sichos, and shal avi avos yoseh mitaras and shal banim, but when you got the goods, when you got the goods speak for itself. And this is a Musar Haskel for life. In life, if you have something good to offer, you don't have to be matriach, you don't have to struggle, you don't have to convince someone, you don't have to sell someone.
It sells itself,
exactly. You don't have, you right away, you present someone with the goods, and the goods speak. That's really what the Kiruv is all about. That's the whole thing. You don't have to sell anything. You don't have to be a professional. That's what they tell Project Inspire. You don't have to be a professional to convince someone to become observant. The good sells itself. Invite them for Shabbos. They'll see what Shabbos is all about. And it's Yiddishkeit sells itself. That's the Musar Haskel. Eliezer, when he's dealing with Lavan and Basul, they don't know what they're getting, then you have to work on it. But when Eliezer delivers Rivka to the home of Yitzchak, he just gives one look at her. You don't have to say anything. I understand everything here was done by Hashkacha Pratis. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. This is the Pasha we also learned about the Koyach of Tefillah. Yitzchak is mispalel by Yetze Yitzchak l'suach basade, and Eliezer is mispalel. There's a very interesting difference in the way Eliezer begins his tefillah before he finds Rivka, and the way he describes his tefillah after he discovers Rivka. When Eliezer first meets Rivka, before he begins, he uses a very powerful word, which, according to some of the commentators, it captures the essence of tefillah. Here, let me find the place. Okay, he comes to the well of Vayavrech Hagmal Michutz Loir El Ber Hamoyim Leisav Leis Tes Hashayavos. Okay, Vayoymar Hashem Elokei Adon. Here's where he begins to be mispalel. Vayomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Hakrei No Lifonai Hayom. What does the word Hakrei mean? Hakrei means make it happen, bring about the events. It means Hakrei comes from the word Ki Yikorei Kan Sipar Lifonecha Baderch, a coincidence. The Ki Yikorei there is spelled with an aleph. But it can literally means, and then by Amalek it says Asher.
Yeah.
And there it's spelled with an aleph. But by Katzipor is with an aleph or a hey.
Hey.
There's a hey. Did by Katzipor?
Yeah.
By Kiyakoris and Achlagem is with an aleph. Both places.
I believe it is.
Okay, fine. So here we have the word. We have the word Hakre Lefonai Hayom with a hey, which means. I'm being what is my koyach, my tefillah? What?
Zman
means to prepare. Zime means to bring it about, to bring about. But mikra literally means cause it to come about. How does it, do you want something to come about? I don't want lightning to come out of the sky. It just should happen naturally, through a sequence of events that an outsider can interpret as nothing more than chance. When we are mispalo, the average person is mispalo, you want it to be obvious. I'm mispalo, I need help, I have trouble. Hashem, do something that it's like lightning should come out of the sky. And there should be arrows, like you're in a GPS.
Yeah.
Turn here, turn here, make a right here, and if you make me go, you go off. We'll recalculate, and we'll get you back exactly where you need to go. This is how the average person relates to tefillah. You ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, grant me clarification where it should be perfectly clear. And indeed, when Eliezer relates to Lavan and Besuel what happened, he says, when he tells them about his tefillah, they take him in. They ask him, would you like to eat? Before he says, no, I don't want to eat. I want to tell you what happened. And he begins to recall the tefillah of Hashem, Berech HaSadim Me'od. And if Omar El Adoni, let me just go up further. V'avo hayom el oyin, v'oymar Hashem, Elokei Adoni Avraham, im yeshcho no, if you would only please, matzliach darki. Hashem, please make me successful. I'm about to do something. I'm asking you that I should be successful. Asher anochi holech holech. Why did Eliezer change the terms, the way he described his tefillah from hikra, a chance event, to the term of matzliach? Please make me successful. Im yeshcho no matzliach darki. Again, verse one more time, the beginning of the pasuk where it says, Hakrei no lefonai. Hakrei no against yeshcho no matzliach darki. And the answer is, after a person has been answered, the nature of tefillah in hindsight is you were successful. In hindsight, you were successful. But at the time, a person cannot expect through tefillah everything should be obvious. The best a person should expect in tefillah is you do your part, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do his part in a hidden way. The entire story of Purim revolves around a coincidence. All of the events happened, all the pieces happened to fall into place, but to an observer, someone who doesn't know what's really going on, can say, well, that's a coincidence, this is a coincidence. And yet, the entire story of Purim was also Lech Kinos Eskol HaYehudim Hanim Sim B'Shushan, was all through the Koyach of Tefillah. Purim all connects to the Koyach of Tefillah, and yet Purim also all connects to matters of coincidence. Here, but we all know that in hindsight, in retrospect, nothing was a coincidence. Every single step of the way was nothing more than part of a puzzle, was part of a divine plan, which was all meant for our ultimate success. That same pattern of being mispalo, that things should work out, but going into events in the blind with emuna that the coincidental events that are happening are really going to be the answer to your tefillah is what tefillah is all about. Unfortunately, many of us make the mistake and think that we are being mispalled for clarity. I want to go into a meeting and I want to have, before I walk in, the perfect clarity of what's supposed to happen, what I'm supposed to, what's not supposed to. And if I don't have this clarity in mind before I enter into this event, before I go on the crossroads, then I have failed. Hashem has said to me, no, I'm not answering your tefillah, you're all on your own. That is a mistake. L'chatchila, when Eliezer was mispaled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make him successful, how did Eliezer define the term success when he first was mispaled? Not with the word success, but with the word hakrei no lefonai. In hindsight, looking back, he said, what was I being mispaled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? For success. For Hatzlacha. Yeah, that's all good and true. When you look back in history, you look back and you were misfollowing, you were asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make you successful. But at the time, can you really demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to clarify matters that this is going to be the girl, this can be the shidduch, this is not going to be the shidduch? You can't do that. The best a person can do when he's misfollowed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I do mine and I enter into this situation with blind faith that the sequence of events that are going to happen coincidentally are really going to be orchestrated and be controlled by the Yad Hashem. That is the attitude the person has to have when he goes in to with tefillah. Okay, now let's look at tefillah from another idea that relates to tefillah. Yaakov, the tefillah of Yitzchak. Yitzchak also was mispal al gzuntait for the zivuk for Rivka. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basad chazal. Learn from this pasuk that Yitzchak Avinu was misak in the tefillah of Mincha. When did this tefillah take place? Le'es Erev. He was mispal in the afternoon. It was the same time when Eliezer came to the well, that was also called at the time of Le'es Erev, when the girls were going out to draw water. So I saw this idea in Vayu. I think this is from the Vayomi Eliyahu, if I'm not mistaken, from Rabbi Lo Aton. He says there's a tefillah of Avraham, the tefillah of Yitzchak, the tefillah of Yaakov. Avraham Avinu was misakin the tefillah of Shachris. Yaakov Avinu was misakin the tefillah of Maariv. Yitzchak was misakin the tefillah of Mincha. What exactly is the difference in nature between the tefillahs? Yaakov, we know, is a tefillah of the night. Vayivka v'mokum, it's dark. He was mispalul mar when it was dark, the sunset. Darkness represents skolos. That's a time of day when nothing is happening. Nothing is taking place. The world is quiet. It represents that a person has to be mispalul to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the dark times when there is no expectation for anything to change. Yet you have to have emunah, you still do yours. Avraham Avinu was mispalul in the morning. The morning, now I don't have clarity, perfect clarity, but it represents a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you bracha whether you like it or not. In other words, even if you're not mispala, if you do nothing, when it's the morning, the sun rises whether you like it or not. Even if you do nothing, you're going to get a check in the mail. You're on a program where the money comes in no matter what. Yitzchak's tefillah is unique in where it's a tefillah that accompanies success, and the success is relation to the person's efforts. If you work, then you'll bring home parnasa. If you don't work, you'll accomplish nothing. Let's put them all in order. Yaakov is, no matter what you do, you can stand on your head backwards. Nothing's going to happen. All of your ashtadlus will result in absolutely nothing. Yet, you have to still be mispalel. Avraham Avinu is a type of tefillah where, even if I'm not mispalel, I'm still going to be guaranteed success. Yitzchak is a tefillah that is accompanied by hishtadlus that usually, and al pi derech hateva, results in success. If you go out to the field and you plant seeds, you have a right to assume that within a period, short period of time, the seeds will take root, they will grow, they'll develop, and you'll have fruit. If you'll put in your hishtadlus, you will reap the benefits. One then can be misled to believe that The tefillah of Yitzchak is no. Even when you do your hashtadlus, you have to recognize that it's only through the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're successful. This is why the tefillah of Yitzchak is described in reference to a sada. Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basada. A sada is an area. Is something which requires man's cultivation, requires man's amelus, his yigia. And through his yigia, he is successful. One can be misled to believe that koichi bi oitzem yadi. This is the unique nature of the tefillah of mincha. So again, this is like a raw idea, but it separates the difference between the tefillah of Yitzchak, the tefillah of Avram, the tefillah of Yaakov. Yaakov is tefillah even when the tefillah is not going to help. Avram is a tefillah even when without the tefillah you'll be successful no matter what. Yitzchak is a tefillah that accompanies something that you do that depends upon your effort. That to some degree is the most dangerous type of tefillah, because a person can believe the reason why he was successful is not because of the tefillah but because of his own efforts. That's why the tefillah also has to accompany one's efforts. Okay, let's go to another short idea. I think this is a very cute idea. There's a very interesting deek when Eliezer comes to Lavan and Bethuel, they present him with food. The only problem is they don't present his entourage with food. The secret service did not get lunch. It says he took 10 gemalim, which according to Chazal, it says v'hanoshim asher ito. Let me read you what happened. He arrives at the home of Lavanam. So Lavivka achu shmoi Lavan. Vayaretz Lavan Eloish achutza Eloin. Vayihi kiros sanezem yasatzmidim al yidei achoyso chushamoi estivrei Rivka achoyso lema koy diber elai hoish. Vayavo Eloish vihinei oimed al hagmalim al hoin. Vayomer Lavan says to Eliezer, Bo, come, Baruch Hashem, the blessed of Hashem. Lama sama bechutz. Vayonochi penisya baitzu mokum lagmalim. Vayavo hoish abaitza. Vayifatach hagmalim. Vayitain teven umispo lagmalim. Here it says beferish umayim lirchoitz raglov viraglei hoanoshim asher ito. Not only did Lavan provide water for Avraham, he provided water for the feet of the anoshim asher ito. Now, here comes the diak. Vayusam lifanov leechol. The only one that's getting lunch or dinner will be Avraham. Your men, Eliezer, your men that have accompanied you, let them fend for themselves. I'm sure you did not come here empty-handed. They have their own food in their own saddle. I gave them water to wash their feet. Good. Let them be happy with that. Only one that gets food is you, Eliezer. Vayusam lifanov leechol. Now, question, why did Eliezer have to elaborate? Here's the answer. He right away said, you know something, we got a problem here. Vayomer, I'm not eating. What he really means to say is, I'm not eating until you give food to all of my people. How does he say that? He says in a very polite way, do you know who I am? I am the Eved of Avraham. Would Avraham treat your people like this? If it was the other way around, that you, Lavan, would come with a group of people to Avraham's house, would Avraham go and say, you can eat and everyone else has to stay outside? Never in a million years. And I'm now coming for a shidduch. And you have to understand, if you want to be mishanech with mine, this was a very bad sign. Here, after when it comes to the well, he sees this girl, and the girl, she gives, not only does she say the attack, it says there in the past that she gives gam lagam, she also gave to drink all the men. Not only did she give to drink Eliezer, she also gave to drink all of the men that accompanied Eliezer, plus all of the camels, everyone. But now, they come to her home. And the B'nai Bayis, they're not so generous. The only one they're willing to give to drink is, by you some little fun off. So he says, not so fast, we got a problem here. And here is really where the real deal comes from, this pasuk. Vayomar Eved Avraham Anochi. They didn't already know this. that didn't already know that he was Yevda Avram. If the pasuk would have not been written, we would have known this. They would have known this information. You could have started Hashem Beiraches Adoni Meod. We could have avoided the entire pasuk Lamed Aleph. The reason why he says pasuk Lamed Aleph, according to the commentators, is to tell them that you are treating me not the way my master would have treated you. We got Vayomad. You know, I am the Eved of Avraham Anochi. And you would have come to the Avraham, he would have given food to all of your men. And let me explain to you the chesed of my master. Let me fill you in on what a great person my master is. And after his long speech, indeed, what does the pasuk say? After the whole speech is, "Va'atam yesh ma'isim chesed." After Vayotze Ho'eved Klei Chesef Uchlei Zav Uvegodim Vayitin Lirivka Umig Donos Nosan Liochir Ulima. And now it says Vayochlu Vayishtu Hu V'ho Anoshim Asher Imo. Look at the difference. Pasuk Nun Dalet. So look at the difference how it's sandwiched. Vayusam Lifonov Lechol. Oh, only for me? You don't know who I am. You don't know where I come from. Bad midos, bad shurach. It's the jigah. That's right. In Hanami. So he tells him over here who I am. Ever Avraham Anochi. And then at the end, when they understand the chesed, then he goes on to say, "Hu vanoshim." They all eat together.
So she was a mile, and she came out of it.
What? The mile is that she came out of it. That's exactly the point. Exactly.
It's not just who.
What?
Eliezer is.
They
are as family to Avraham.
Who they are. Okay, Echanami, that's right.
They ought to know.
Appreciate who the family is. We're not like you. You're getting a much better deal than we're getting here. Okay, this is a repeat from last year or 2 years ago. This part is one of my favorite verloch on the parish of Shaduchim. There's a very unusual word, so to conclude the share this last part, there's a very unusual word that Eliezer uses when he discovers that he has found the zivik for Yitzchak. The word is v'ho'ish mishto'ela. The man was in shock. Let me find the word. Pasuk chaf aleph v'ho'ish mishto'ela. You know this part?
You said it last year.
Okay, this is a verse. Good chaz. I told you, okay. This is a good verse to repeat. Everything else I didn't repeat, I don't believe, right? Everything else was good, new? Everything was new so far. I mean, now we're going to ruin it. The last 2 minutes. Last 2 minutes, we're just going to repeat. Repeat. Okay, v'ho'ish mishto'ela. Okay, I also want to repeat this because it ties into what we spoke about yesterday about breaking the kais, breaking the kli cheres by the tenoyim. The man was in a state of shock. That Macharish, he kept quiet. Lodas ha'etzliach Hashem darko. And lo, here he comes to the well. The first girl that comes out offers him a drink, offers his men a drink, offers the camels to drink. Everything is perfect. Kvitz aderech. He doesn't know what to say. Rashi. What is this unusual word mishto'e? Pasuk chaf aleph in Rashi. Lashon she'ia. It means a churban, a holocaust. Destruction. Kimo su'u adim tisha shemama. What's the destruction? So Rashi goes on to explain mishtoimim umispahel al sherod dvaru karv lahatzliach. He goes on to explain what is the explanation of this unusual word. He goes on to say that when a person sees churban, when a person goes out and sees a city that has been destroyed, for example, you go see the city of Sodom v'Amora and you see the churban, a person is, wow, how could it be such a terrible thing? The whole city was obliterated. You're in shock. Eliezer here was in shock. Why was he in shock? Because Eliezer planned to be instrumental in bringing about the shidduch of Yitzchak. He wanted to get credit. He wanted that history should record that the legacy of Klal Yisrael was only preserved because of the super talent and koichas hanefesh of Eliezer. He was the master diplomat. He's going to be the one that's going to come to Aram the Haram. He's going to find a girl. The girl's not going to want. The parents are not going to want. And he's going to convince them that it's a good shidduch. And history will record that Eliezer is the one that gets all the credit. He comes here, and it's all taken away from him. No credit. I'm a monkey. Maise Kuf. I have come here, the Shirk's already ready to go, it's already packaged, ready to go. I lost out, my legacy is gone. Yeah, and indeed, that's exactly what Lavan and Basul said. Lavan said that May Hashem Yotza Hadova Lo Yuchal Dabr Toivara. We have a minute by Chasna to break a Kli Cheres at the Tanoim. When the Chasna and Kala, one of the Tanoim, when they basically get engaged, when they agree that this is the Shirach, we break a Kli Cheres. Why do we break a Kli Cheres? So we know the different Hagim, Zechel Chorben, we discussed yesterday, the Gilu B'Hada. We break it in order to show that you can't go back. Once you give your word that you're willing to marry this girl gives her word, you're willing to marry this boy, there's no way, it's beyond return. Just like there's no way to repair Kli Cheres, there's no way they can back out of from their word. But perhaps Al Derech Durash is another reason. When you break the Kli Cheres, what you're really doing is you are reenacting this pasuk. Everyone in the room is making a declaration, V'ho'ish mishto'eila. You're bringing about Churban. You take a beautiful Kli Cheres, you shatter it. When you hear that sound, people are very disturbed. How could you have taken something beautiful, complete, and broken it? It's an expression of Churban, destruction, Shemama, desolation. Why? You're putting yourself in the shoes of Eliezer, to be Makir. Even though in this room there are 10 people that are presently in Beis Din fighting over who gets the Shadchanis, because each person claims it was him who made the Shirach, and everyone thinks it's because they're the ones, and there are a million reasons why the Shirach come about, ultimately we have to acknowledge May Hashem Yotza Hadavar. No one gets credit. Eliezer thought he's going to get the credit. V'ho'ish mishto'eila. Macharesh, he was in shock. It's not my credit. Everything happened without me. It would have happened without me, and it did happen without me. We reenact that by every single zivug. May Hashem Yotza Hadavar, no matter how much ashtalus, how much talent and koichas and nefesh go into a shidduch, it's still May Hashem Yotza Hadavar. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.